Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this positively lovely spring morning?
I'm feeling very sunshiny. Thanks,
Tom. Yes. I walked down to the station this morning without wearing a jacket. I just had a stocking cap on my solar panel to keep it from cooling off. And I am ready to start out with a story from the Law Enforcement Center about developments in that part of Lake County. It calls for cameras and counseling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I got to say, this is written by Katya Gordon, and we're really fortunate. I'm really lucky. I think the community is really lucky that Katya attends most of the action meetings for the Lake County Board, and that gives us a lot of insight into decisions that are being made that affect all our lives. So Sheriff Nate Stadler presented to the board the opportunity to use grant funding money for public safety-related aid to purchase body cameras for the sheriffs in Lake County, and that was approved to move forward. There has to be public hearings around this, and this also is affecting the Silver Bay Police Department. Two Harbors already has body cameras. So since these grants are available, these different law enforcement agencies are asking for approval from their deciders to purchase body cameras. You can imagine, Tom, there's stuff around that, like do they have to have the cameras on? How do they work? How is data stored? Who can access that data after it has been recorded? So there's stuff that needs to be decided. More than that, there also has to be public hearings, and the Silver Bay Police Department body camera for their law enforcement public hearing is going to be April 15th at 7 o'clock, and for the Sheriff's Department, that will be on April 23rd at 2 o'clock. So if you're interested in having some say about this decision, those are your opportunities to be involved. It seemed to be generally accepted as a good idea and probably something that will eventually be required by our state legislation. So it seems like the timing is right to go forward with this from the point of view of the departments. And another issue that came up because of grant funding is about counseling, offering counseling for law enforcement, specifically in the sheriff's department. And it looks like that is probably going to move forward as well.
Oh, yes. This was, in fact, a thing that stuck out when I read the piece. The sheriff is gazing into the crystal computer screen, and he sees that it will be a statewide mandate for these cameras. And he says, well, it's going to be mandated eventually. We've got the money available now. Let's just do it. And mm-hmm. that made just perfectly good, clear common sense to me. And it's not like it's a new thing anymore. The news is filled with stories of body cams worn by law enforcement officers around the country at every level from the township all the way up to the feds, and the reasoning behind it is doesn't need to be dissected here. We already know the issues behind that. I think it's a good deal. And, mm-hmm. you know, these guys are subject to significant stress and trauma in their work, and if you're going to be subjected to that, you might as well have some counseling to help you deal with it better and mm-hmm. more efficiently. It's long past when the man that was hired to be a city cop was usually the biggest and toughest guy in town. That is not the scene anymore. And so, mm-hmm. yes, let's just make the work situation fit the situation at work. Our mm-hmm. next piece here, I think, is excellent. It shows that one of the values of travel outside your nest, student worldview is changing with their trip to Costa Rica.
Yeah, so this is a really fun piece, and I was so pleased to get it written by Amaya Grindy Fossen, who is one of our interns, and she's at Two Harbors High School. She's a senior this year. She didn't go on the trip, but she knew people who did. So a group of students from Two Harbors and from a couple of different clubs, and it was actually open to anyone if they had the ability to do the fundraising for it. They went to Costa Rica for several days, and we got a report on that, some of the things that they did. But the best thing of all, that, as you already stated, Tom, was Brie Larson, who was interviewed by Amaya Grundy-Fossen and was on the trip, talked about how it changed the way she looks at the world, which is just spine-tingling to hear that somebody's learning that, that they're getting a broader worldview. Some wonderful pictures that Brie took as well included in the piece.
Sure. And, you know, if you can't travel outside the country, travel inside the country. Even just going a couple of states away gives you a chance to see how other people live. And it isn't the way we do things here in Two Harbors isn't necessarily the way things are done in the outer world. And it's a thing that people need to learn and be aware of. So more mm-hmm. power to them. Teachers mm-hmm. in Lake Superior School District 381 had a labor agreement mediated between them and the state, and they rejected the mediated agreement. Having been a union guy myself, my working life, I know how this works, and the part that gets into the newspaper is usually just the very tip of the iceberg and doesn't get into a lot of the subtle details that are the thing that makes and breaks an agreement.
Mm-hmm. True enough. And so it's big news, but there's not a lot to it. Basically, there had been a mediated agreement in March between the school district and the teachers union, and there was a long delay, mostly because of spring break. So they just met on Monday. The teachers did not vote to approve that agreement. So it's back to the drawing board. When I talked to Chris Bellinger, who's the president of the union, he was hopeful that further negotiations were going to be scheduled soon. So we'll keep you posted on that. The teachers are currently working without a contract, which has not been uncommon this year in Minnesota. We're certainly hoping for the best for everyone.
You bet. And of course, it's a little bit like a duck swimming across the lake. All the outside world sees is this calm and placid duck, but underneath the surface of the water, there's a lot of furious paddling going on, and and so that's part of it. The Forest Service mm-hmm. is making an assessment of the way the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness is being managed, and there are some changes in the future, and they're also, of course, open to public input on this.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of take the Boundary Waters for granted as being in our backyard and a very large part of the buffer to our world, one of the most amazing natural preserves in the world, let alone the country. It's been a long time since there's been a review of the forest management of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. And so they're looking at limiting visitors as one aspect, looking at towboat management and concerning commercial towboats. Guidelines around that. There's some other issues that are going to be looked at, prescribed burning. So since we live here, let's get involved. Public comments can be made through May 17th on the project webpage. You can do it electronically or in a hard copy, and there's an address included in the article. So I just wanted to kind of put out to people, there's also going to be an open house, a virtual open house on April 18th. And those details are in the article as well, that this is time for us, for our voices to be heard about what we think is important about the Boundary Waters forest management.
You bet. Just because we live next to it doesn't mean we can just take it for granted that it'll always be there. It's always under mm-hmm. pressure from the outside, and so it requires management. And as mm-hmm. it becomes more and more popular, it's going to require more and more management, because mm-hmm. we are a messy species. I hate to say it, but it's the ugly truth. Mm-hmm. This is something that should be of interest to people in town here, is a published report from the city's city administrator, Patty Nordine. This is not something I'm accustomed mm-hmm. to seeing in a paper, and I think this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. So this is something, Patty Nordine is relatively new in the position of city administrator, and several months ago she started opening the regular meetings of the city council, the committee of the whole meetings with, and as well as the later meetings, which are the regular meetings, with a list of what she had been working on in the previous 2 weeks. And I really like that she's doing that. And let's kind of peek behind the scenes of how busy she and the city office is. And it's just sort of a synopsis of her previous 2 weeks since they had met last. And I asked Patty, hey, can I just print that in the paper every week when you do it? So she sends those to me. I think it's really interesting, gives people a chance to kind of bullet point what is happening in the city and opportunities for them to get involved or ask questions to find out more. So I hope readers look at this and then turn around with more questions, ask me to pursue questions, or, you know, talk to city administration or your counselor yourself and find out more about what's happening.
You bet. She has worked for the city in the front office there for probably close to 30 years, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knows how the wheels turn. And so it was a natural fit for her to step into the next office. And to see this report in the paper on a regular basis, I think this is just grand. More, mm-hmm. more, give me more. Coming out mm-hmm. of the county HRA are some changes in how the HRA is doing things with the city HRA and working together on more and more things. And a big one now, this is huge, is a one block area between 6th and 7th Street on 2nd Avenue. We've got the old original City Hall building there, which was also an original fire hall. And then across the street from it was the Coolidge's machine shop before he had it in the earliest days when we still had horses. This was a city stable, I mean, and blacksmith shop. And there's always been something going on there. Well, there are a lot of empty buildings in this area on 2nd Avenue, and something has to be done before nature does it for us. And so this is one of the things that the HRA is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so exciting. You know I love this story. And Matt Johnson presented this to the City Council on Monday. He also brought it to the Lake County HRA Board just last night. He got a green light from both entities to work on this project, which I'm just thrilled about. And I talked with Matt even further this morning about it, and it feels really exciting. There are other owners of properties on that block that are doing great things. We have the Lake County DAC. We have the Masons at the other end of the block. We have Shelley Peterson, who has revived several buildings in a really diligent way, made good use of them. There are some that are empty, that have been abandoned for many, many years. Perhaps can be saved, perhaps can't be saved. But Matthew Johnson, who's the Lake County Director of the HRA, his idea is, let's look at this as a whole. Let's look at how we can revitalize this block. Let's talk to the property owners and see what they would like to see happen. Let's see if there's an opportunity to purchase properties from some of the property owners that aren't currently utilizing those properties to their full extent. And how could we do that as a county and as a city? And what Matthew's proposing is a really quick turnaround on a plan between the county and the city of what that could look like. And as you and I know, Tom, unless you have a plan, you can't sell it to get grant funding. And he feels like there's a lot of opportunities for federal and state funding for this revitalization of this block. And they're going to get this plan done fast. It doesn't have to be a permanent, you know, set in stone, this is what we're going to do, but rather sort of a dream that they can bring to different places to start seeing if there's money to put together for sort of a whole block plan. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
Oh, yes. For me, it's the old City Hall building. It is a historically significant building in its design and in its use, and it is currently owned by a man who had been trying to restore and preserve historic buildings in Duluth with no success. And so I am concerned. I mean, he's an honorable person, but his resources are limited, and I'm wandering too far afield. That's on me. I think that one final parting remark, if you have a well for potable water, you're advised to get a regular testing program for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a good comment. Yep. Just PSA for your information. Here's some things to get tested if you have a well.
Yes.
If the state is recommending that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you bet. So with that, you know, our show has gone on quite long here, and I'm going to have to trim it down a little bit if I can figure it out. So to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.
Bye, Tom.